that we were going to have a missionary with us tonight, and this was a meeting that we set up not that long ago. Brother Singh said it was going to be in our area and asked if he could give a report to the church, and I said absolutely, and so he is here tonight to let us know how things have been going with the ministry that we support through him, and so he's going to be talking about that, showing a video, I believe, as well. And many of you maybe are not familiar with the ministry that he is a part of there. And he's going to explain it to us and remind us of what we've been supporting now for these many years. It's been quite a few years that we've supported the ministry there. And it's been a privilege and a blessing. And I'm excited to have Brother Singh sit here. So, Brother, you come at this time. We're glad to have you. He's using the lapel mic, Brother Ian. And we are very glad to have you. And thank you for your ministry, and thank you for being here this evening.
Hopefully, you can hear me. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. This morning, I have a different microphone that you put around your ear. It kept falling, and finally, I grabbed hold of the microphone.
Yes.
So, this is better. I don't have to control.
Yes.
And before I go any further, I came here with my wife, Rhoda Singsit. You want to stand up?
Amen. Amen.
And then my nephew, Jamang Kongsai.
Amen.
He's a student at Day Spring Bible College in Mundelein, near Chicago. Yep. So he has been, we were in a conference at Clinton Road Baptist Church, and it was a wonderful, wonderful conference.
Amen.
We've never been there before, so this was the first time. And he just recently returned from India, last week, and he has the first-hand knowledge of what's going on. And so to give you not only a report, I really have to explain things so that Madison Baptist Church do not have any doubts that God is using the fund and the money that you give.
Yes.
For the blessings that you have been to us. And so we can show you some of those things. This is a timeline, how this came about. My brother was a Bible college student, and he came back and he had a burden for starting churches.
Yeah.
And so in 1975, they started a gospel singing team called New Life Crusaders.
Amen.
And that turned into not only a singing team, but a preaching team. And we started getting people saved from the liberal churches. And then it became a real problem because we baptized them as they become believer.
Amen.
Then persecution started. And so this was not from non-Christian, but from the so-called Christian churches. Vacation Bible School was a big attraction. We had, in the peak of the Vacation Bible School ministry, we had about 5,000 people in 1 year. We don't have in one place, but different locations.
Wow, amen.
And so the Vacation Bible School was supported by Regular Baptist Press from Schaumburg, Illinois.
Yes, amen.
They supported us with the materials. And then the same year, we started Imphal Bible Fellowship. Imphal is the capital city of Manipur, the state. So the Bible Fellowship started, and that turned into a Baptist church later on.
Amen.
And then 1984, that was the year I came to the U.S., and I came to Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin, Madison. That was the year we started Shalom Academy.
Amen.
The purpose of that was to see that the foundation education is based on the biblical standard. So that was the main reason why we started Shalom Academy. Amen. And then in 2008, Shalom Academy was a school, and we trained students, but we don't train pastors. So I thought of starting a Shalom Native Mission.
Amen.
So that was the year 2008 we started this. Officially, we registered as a nonprofit 501c3, and so we've been running for over 13 years now.
Amen.
We had joined hands with the Core Mission. Core Mission is Center on Remote Evangelism. Core Mission was started as supporting Native pastors. And so we joined hands with them, and so they help us to support 20 pastors with 20 Baptist churches in Manipur.
Amen.
And Core not only help us start supporting the pastors, but also we organized a conference for the pastors last year and this year, the beginning of this year. And right after the conference, this communal riot broke up, and which I'll show later on. Violence erupted in May of 2023, and the schools are closed. Nothing can go around. My people cannot go to Imphal, the capital city. There have been a lot of killing, and some of the time, this was very difficult to see. Scenes are very violent, very disheartening. My people are slaughtered like pigs, and so we'll show some of those pictures. Shalom Academy now closed for the students because the government is not functioning anymore, and we have opened up for refugees. More than 21,000 people have been uprooted.
Wow.
And so we had about 140 plus. My nephew was a Clinton Road Baptist Church, donated $10,000, and we sent him in person. We don't trust anybody to hand over money. So he went and bought supplies and medical aid, medicine, and so we can see that the money was used properly. Within two weeks, the $10,000 was evaporated because the need was so great. And because the schools are not operating, but the refugees are there, my niece, who is the administrator for the school, she has taken the chance to make this people received the word of God, and she has conducted every evening service, and she invite different people, different preachers, and sometimes she spoke. And so the ministry of the Shalom Academy is ongoing. The student may not be a standard student, but the students are older men, older women, and young kids, they are in one class. So God is blessing, and souls are being saved.
Amen.
I'm going to pass this. This is how we started. 48 students and one house. But that turned into, today, more I'm not going to go through this, but this is how today is. In about 30 years, we have changed the demographic of the school, and the school is represented by three categories of people: the Hindus and the tribal. Tribals are two, three groups of people, people type like the Kukis and the Nagas, and also the Nepalis, which are totally different speaking Nepali from Nepal. So these are Hindus, and Metis from the Imphal area. So they all come to our school. We have over 700 children, K to 12. And we have a total of more than the school building can accommodate. So we had to acquire a rented house, rented a school building, which is abandoned by another school in the area. Land is almost non-available, and the price are, you wouldn't believe it. I would probably buy cheaper in the U.S. than than that part of the country. This is something, the philosophy of Shalom Native Mission. The traditional way of sending missionaries are from here to foreign countries. We spend about $5,000 to $6,000 average per month. That same amount of money, we can employ 10 missionary families, and they are much more effective. The East and West interaction between the East and West, the West mostly is supporting role and trading, giving them skill, training. And then the East, on the receiving side, on the front line, they give the gospel out. And so this is what I perceive to be the philosophy of the new mission movement. And we've been working with different ethnic group. We had about 19 to 20 churches. These are small, but yet they are independent churches. And so we work with them, and they belong to our fellowship. These are some quality that I mentioned. No language barrier, no furlough issue, no visa problem, and communication is effective because they speak the language. It's economical because the amount of money you spend, you can employ 10 missionary family of the Native Mission. And trained pastors are there. They spend 4 years in Bible college, and they are very good in what they preach. They know what they believe, and they know how to communicate with the people. There are some important messages I want to bring today. Is Madison Baptist Church has been the backbone of the Shalom Academy and the ministry we have. I couldn't remember what year it was. They decided to purchase motorcycle, scooter for the pastors. I think 5 or 6 motorcycles they purchased for our people. They still remember. Most of them are not running anymore because it has a very short lifetime. And there was a blessing to many of them. And so Madison has been always at the back of my mind. First Baptist Church in Sturgeon Bay and Madison Baptist Church in Madison. These two are probably the oldest supporter of our ministry. We don't go with a lot of big names and big people, but the Lord gave us money, the money that we use for God's glory. And so we're not rolling out money, but we're not short of money either, because God gave us what we need. This is the new proposed building we wanted to buy at the cost of $140,000. And we need this because we need additional space. Not only that, government required us, when they gave us permission to open up higher secondary, 12 class, 11, 10, 11, 12 class, then they require us to have a bigger facility. So we are under condition of certification, provided we can fulfill this. We're in the process of raising money, and they asked me this morning, how much you made so far? I said, well, far as 90% of the money is still yet to be acquired. So we are 10%. So that's at least a start. This is an area to be developed. This changes the whole thing. May 3rd, there was a peaceful marching. The Nagas and the Kukis marched to make known that they are not happy with the way the government tried to, the High Court ruling on the Métis to be considered as a scheduled tribe. And that was unconstitutional, so they went for a march. And the marching was peaceful. The Métis came and started killing them and started beating them up. And then they went on to rampage, burning houses, looting them. So in one night, the whole history changed. Now, they took it to a different level. They not only use clubs and sticks and beat people, now they use machine guns. They use AK-47. They use all kinds of automatic rifle. So that's very dangerous. And if it continue on, we may not have a future. But God is our future.
Amen.
And 21,000 people are homeless. They are in camps. And we try to raise support money. And very soon they're going to run out resources. This is a video clip, how violent they are. Can you control that from there?
We're gonna fuck you up!
Chingkonpang.
Thank you. If you have any question, I don't know how much time I have taken.
You can feel free.
you may have some questions that you can ask. If I don't have the immediate answer, my nephew can answer you, because he just returned from Manipur.
Is there any hope that things will calm down, that the government will get involved and calm things down? Is there any possibility of that within reason?
What we've seen right now doesn't look like going to happen soon. The Prime Minister was in Washington, D.C., having a handshake with the red carpet rollout from our President Biden. And I don't know, the two are trying to link up, because right now India is a wild card in the whole alignment of power. They don't like China. But they like Russia. But India don't want to be a part of that. At the same time, India don't want to be alone with US, because they need more than that. So these things are crooked alignment, I call it, wickedness. So from that standpoint, I don't see a future. But the future is in God's hand, mm-hmm. for God's people.
Yeah. Anybody else have a question?
You understand now the role of Shalom Academy. It's not a school only. It's a ministry. It's a mission board. And I have 6 mission board. Three of the board members traveled with me, and at the conference, they returned back home, but we extend our travel to Madison and Sturgeon Bay. When you pray, remember, we're more than a school, we're a ministry where the pastors are being supported.
One other question, Brother Singh, is that the violence, is it only in the state of Manipur? Is the state where the academy is?
Right now, it's concentrated right in Manipur only.
Which is in the eastern part of India, is
in
that correct?
In the eastern part, right above Myanmar.
Okay. Yep. All right. And then you mentioned that you have 140 refugees that you're helping on the property?
On the property,
is
yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
And it looked like maybe very soon the supplies would run out for them?
If we don't continue supporting them.
Okay, yep.
But God has a provision.
Yes. You pray for them. Okay, very good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Singh Sen. I appreciate that.
That certainly is a blessing and a good challenge for us. How many of you knew about the violence there in the eastern part of India? Anybody here knew about that? Brother Bob did. Darlene did. Both Darlenes. Not very many of us. We don't hear those things very much on our news, do we? It shows you what a ridiculous situation we're in the United States with news that, boy, covers just about everything else. And yeah, feel free, brother. Everything else under the sun that's foolish and tabloid worthy, but not covering real news like what's going on in other parts of the world. And so we need to pray for that situation. In fact, let's take just a moment now to pray about that situation. I think that would be wise. I think we can pray for a couple of things. We can pray definitely for peace, that God would bring peace and safety to that area and to those dear people, that he would use this for his honor and glory, that souls would be saved through it all. And then we can pray for the Shalom Native Mission, that God would protect it and allow it to get back to its main purpose, if that would be within his will. I'm going to pray out loud. I'm going to ask you to pray with me silently, and let's go to the Lord together. Remember, he promised he would hear us as we come to him together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before you, and we thank you that we can bring our needs and our requests before you. And Lord, first of all, we want to thank you for the many blessings that we have. Lord, we thank you that you've allowed us, for some reason or another, you've allowed us to live in a place where, Lord, there is relative safety. And Lord, the violence like we saw there, Lord, is not something that we see on a regular basis or can even imagine. We thank you, Lord, that you have allowed us to live in a country where there's freedom and more or less stability. Thank you so much, Lord. We know that someday you may see fit to take that away. But Lord, in the meantime, help us to be thankful for it. But Lord, we do want to bring before you the needs over there. And we ask, dear Lord, that you would send peace to that area. Lord, I pray for the leadership within India, and specifically, Lord, those who would be in charge of that specific area, those who can make a difference, whomever they may be. Lord, would you please touch their hearts and motivate them to crack down on the violence and to get a handle on the situation? Would you give them the motivation to do it? Would you give them wisdom on how to do it? Lord, would you allow that peace would reign and that there would be some type of agreement there, Lord, where those who are acting in violence, Lord, would be stopped, and peace-loving citizens would be allowed to go about their business. But Lord, we do ask as well that you would allow this to be used for your honor and glory. Let souls be saved through it. Lord, would you protect lives, but then, Lord, would you also remind them of their need to believe on Jesus Christ? Would you convict them of sin? And Lord, would you convict them of their need to believe on Jesus, that he is the Savior? Give them understanding that he is the Son of God who died and gave his life for them and rose again, that they might have eternal life. Lord, would you let the gospel go forth? Would you let your word have great power? And then, Lord, we thank you for Shalom Native Mission and the ministry that they have. Lord, we ask that you would allow them to get back to that ministry, if that be within your will, very, very soon. Lord, would you please allow that to happen? Provide for them the needs that they have as far as property and all of that, Lord. Provide for them in a great way. Lord, we even ask for Brother Singh Sit and his family as they've come tonight. Bless them and encourage them. But Lord, also, would you give them safety as they travel tonight down to the Chicago area, get ready for their flight tomorrow, Lord. Give them safety and blessing. Thank you for them. And Lord, thank you for this church and the ability that we have to meet together tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Please continue to pray for them and be faithful to pray for all of our missionaries, but pray for them in their needs. All right, let me encourage you, if you would, please, to find in your Bibles the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'll just preach from the pulpit mic here this evening, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, and I want to preach a very simple message to you in the little bit of time that we have left, and just a simple message that the Lord gave to me. He actually gave it to me as I was preparing for the missions conference that I was able to preach this last week, and thank you for being faithful to be in your place on Wednesday night. Thank you to those who covered for me, Brother Clint and Daniel and others. Thank you so much for doing that. This was one of the messages that the Lord gave me, and I want to give you kind of an abbreviated message from it. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Dear Lord, would you guide us now as we look at your word? Would you speak to us? Would you feed us? Would you challenge us? In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to ask you this question, kind of a rhetorical question, but we are going to answer it nonetheless in the message this evening. And the question is basically this: why should we be involved with missions? Why should we be involved with missions? Why should we give money to the cause of Christ and getting the gospel around the world? Is it because there's nothing else that we have to do with our money? Is it because we have money that's just extra, that's just floating around with nothing to do, and we're looking for ways to spend it? Now, there might be some, but I don't think most people here. I think there's definitely other areas where you would like to, or you could possibly find a reason to give your money elsewhere. So why should you give it to the cause of missions? Why should we care about the souls around the world? Why should we do something like Vacation Bible School? Or why should we have a soul-winning time on Thursdays and Saturdays? Why should we do that? Why should we take missions trips? Why should we go and visit other places and invest time, maybe our 1 week of vacation or one of the couple of weeks of vacation that we have? Why should we take that time and go to a foreign field and give the gospel out during that time? Why should we even think about and pray about being involved in full-time missions ourselves? Why should we do these things? I want to give you three reasons tonight why we should be involved. The first one is this, and it's the most important reason why we should be involved in missions, and that is for God's glory. I want to encourage you that that ought to be the motivating factor, really, for everything we do. Everything we do, we ought to be caring about and concerned with, does this bring glory to God? And I believe that when we get to heaven, that's the big thing that we're going to wonder. When we look back at our life, we're not going to wonder about whether or not we were popular, whether or not other church members thought we were great, whether or not we fulfilled everybody else's expectations for our lives. Rather, we're going to be concerned about, did I live in such a way that God was glorified by my life? We should be concerned with God's glory. I want to remind you quickly this evening that God created man for his glory. Do you remember the scripture song that we sing in Revelation 4:11? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power and blessing. And it says, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. It says, for thy pleasure they are and were created in Revelation 4:11. God created all things that he might have pleasure in them. That certainly goes to the smallest little creature that we can imagine, the largest tree, the greatest mountains that we can imagine, but also, and probably more than anything else, that includes mankind, human beings. God created us for his glory. But you know, like I know, that sin ruined that situation. Adam and Eve, before they fell into sin, brought great glory to God. And we can infer from Genesis that God enjoyed walking with them in the cool of the garden in the evening, and he enjoyed the fellowship. But when mankind sinned, then that great fellowship that God had with them was lost, and the situation where mankind brought glory to God was lost. But of course, God, in his great wisdom, provided a way of salvation, didn't he? And when mankind believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, it is once again an opportunity for God to get glory through mankind. Sinful though we are, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're born again, when the Holy Spirit comes to live within, what happens then is we again are in a state where we have the potential to bring honor and glory to God. And here's what you and I ought to want. We ought to want not only that we would bring glory to God through our lives, but that he would also receive glory through the lives of others. We should care about the lives that are in this church with us, the other brothers and sisters in Christ that we share a church body with. We should look at them and say, you know what? I want God to be glorified through their life, just like I want God to be glorified through my life. My concern ought to be God's glory, not whether or not that Christian is meeting all of my expectations, not whether or not they're embarrassing to me or not. It ought to be, are they bringing honor and glory to my Savior? And then looking beyond our four walls, we ought to look out into the world and see in our community here, or in a community in India, or in a community in Bulgaria, or in a community in South America somewhere, we ought to want that God would be glorified as men and women and children believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, become born again, and are once again able to bring honor and glory to God. That ought to excite us. Reminds me of Romans chapter number 11. Turn there with me if you would, please. Romans chapter 11, and we'll look at verse 25. Romans chapter 11 and verse 25. Where the Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, he says in Romans 11, 25, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so these also not now, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? The Apostle Paul, when thinking about and rehearsing with the Roman Christians there, how God had been working with the Jewish people, yet they rejected their Messiah, and then God used that as a catalyst to bring the Gentiles the message of salvation, and that the Gentiles are being saved, and there's a great church being called out from among the Gentiles, and that someday God is again going to turn his gaze back on the nation of Israel and the people of Israel, and God is again going to save them on a national level. Then as Paul looks at all that, he says, listen, look at all that God has done. He's concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy on all. And then he begins to give God great glory for this depth, the depth of his wisdom and knowledge. And I believe that when any one of us is born again, God receives great glory. When one of our children believes on Jesus Christ, God is glorified. When we are out in our community and handing out the gospel and somebody is born again through a tract that we give or the testimony of our mouth that we give, God is glorified. And when somebody in India receives the gospel and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, God is glorified. And that ought to excite us. That ought to motivate us that we want to give more. That ought to motivate us that we want to pray more and that we want to be involved in missions even more. Why? Because God is glorified, and I believe that's the most important motivation we can have. But let me give you a second motivation on why we should be involved in missions, and that is love for our fellow man. Love for our fellow man. I don't believe this is as important as God's glory, but it is nonetheless important that we ought to care for others. And the reason I bring that up is this. Do you remember what the Bible says about those who are lost? The Bible says in John 3:36 that the wrath of God abideth on them. That may not be fun for us to think about. That may not make a whole lot of sense to us. But remember, we're not the judge. God is the judge. Who are we to question the judge of all the earth? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the answer is obviously yes, he will. And God has said that those who have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that God's wrath abides on them. That means that, again, people in India, yes, even those who have not heard the gospel, if they have not believed on Jesus Christ, the wrath of God abideth on them. And yes, they, like we, are without excuse. And that ought to bother us, that the wrath of God would abide on somebody. That ought to bother us to the point where we would be motivated to get the gospel to them, though we cannot force them to get saved. We cannot manipulate them into getting saved. We cannot put pressure on them or just get them to repeat some prayer that's going to make them magically somehow the Christians. We can certainly share with them the gospel. We can pray for them. We can ask the Holy Spirit of God to enlighten them. And when they believe on Jesus Christ, they'll be forgiven of their sins, and they'll again bring glory and honor to God, and they'll have heaven as their home. That ought to be a great motivator for you and me. Love for our fellow man. But see, God's wrath is on the lost. And may I remind you that God has one way of salvation. God has one way. There are not two ways. All roads do not lead to God as far as salvation goes. All roads, all religions are not the same. There is one way of salvation, and that one way is through Jesus Christ and his name. That's why the apostles said in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. May I remind you that verse says none other name? So those who are very religious and sincere and are followers of Muhammad, sorry, that name will not save. At the point of death, standing before the judge of all the earth, God, if somebody invokes the name of Muhammad, sorry, you fall short and the wrath of God abides on you. If somebody invokes the name of Buddha or the name of their church or whatever it might be, if they invoke that name, they will come short. There's one name that we can invoke at the judgment seat, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. That's why Romans 10 and verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's what that means. That those who are depending on him for salvation, they are the ones who are saved. And that's the only way. The dear old grandma across the street from you who gives cookies to all the neighborhood kids, even she has one way of salvation. It's Jesus Christ. It's not in her good works, and boy, has she done a lot of good works, right? She's a nice old lady. But that won't save her. There's one way of salvation, Jesus Christ. The person who's been baptized into any church, including this one, if that's their hope, then they're hopeless. Because Jesus is the only hope. And that ought to burden us to get the gospel then to people. That ought to burden us that we want people, again, since we're talking about India, we want those people in India to understand and know who Jesus is. We want the people in the countries like Iraq and Iran and Saudi Arabia. We want the people in places like China, and we could go down to Brazil in South America, and on we could go. We want them to know who Jesus is, and we should want the people in our community here not just to become Baptists so that we can have more Baptists in the world. We ought to want the people around us to know who Jesus is and understand their sin and that he is the Savior of their sin or can take care of their sin for them. Love for our fellow man ought to motivate us. God's glory, love for our fellow man. Let me give you the third, and really probably the least important, but it's still a motivation that God gives us. This third motivating factor on why we should be involved in missions is rewards in heaven. You and I will have rewards in heaven for being involved in missions, being involved in Vacation Bible School, being involved in soul winning. Listen, God has a reward for those who faithfully serve him. And I know it's tiring. I know it's difficult. I know that many times the money that you give to Faith Promise is money that you could have spent on something else. Many times you have to scrimp and save and clip coupons, although nobody does that anymore. They're all digital nowadays, right? But you know what I'm saying. You scrimp and you save and you cut corners here and you cut corners there so that you can give to missions. And sometimes it can be a weariness to the flesh. And why are we continuing to do this? And maybe we're talking about going out to street ministry on Thursday nights. And I don't know about you, but on Thursday night when I'm done with, you know, the regular work day, I'm tired. And my main problem is I usually eat supper before I go. Always a mistake, Brother Dexter. Once I eat supper, I'm toast. My body just wants to be done. And I imagine that many of you are that way like me, and maybe even more so. Maybe you work quite a bit harder than I do during the day. Maybe you have a physical job or a very stressful job. And sometimes on a Thursday night when it's time to get up and get going and be there and go out and hand out gospel tracts, and you have 1,000 reasons why you should stay home. I understand that sometimes we think, boy, is it worth it? And I want to encourage you, it is worth it. That God is watching, that he is keeping track of all of these things. He's writing them down. And when you willingly give of yourself and serve the Lord, listen, he will reward you. That's God's promise. And I'm so glad that I can leave all these things in his hand and know, I don't know how he's going to reward me, but he will. And so all I have to do is be faithful. I may not be able to do everything, but I'm going to do what's in my power to do, and I'm even going to push myself to be in an uncomfortable situation so that I can serve him even a little bit more. I'm not just going to do what's easy. I'm not just going to do what's, you know, not a sacrifice. I'm going to give him something that is sacrificial. Why? Because he is worthy and because he will reward me. Turn with me, if you would, back to 2 Corinthians. We'll close with this and we'll be done for this evening. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. We were in chapter 4 for our text verse, 2 Corinthians 4. We'll look at the end of the chapter. Here's some verses that I share with you from time to time. Verses 17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want to remind you that in verse 17, it mentions light affliction that is but for a moment. It mentions both the weight of it and the time of it. It calls it light affliction. Serving God is affliction. It's a little bit of a hassle. It's uncomfortable, but Paul calls it light affliction. Then how long does it last? Well, it's but for a moment, just a little bit of time. Now, it may not seem that way, but that's because we're dealing in a lack of eternity right now. We see in the area of our life. But when seen in view of eternity, it lasts but for a moment. So it's light affliction that lasts for a moment. In return for that light affliction that lasts for a moment, when we're doing that for the Lord, what do we receive? In verse 17, something that is far more exceeding. That's the weight of it. In other words, it's a lot heavier, far more exceeding. And then the time of it is it's eternal. It's an eternal weight of glory. So the time and the weight of what the blessing that we receive for the light affliction that endures but for a moment is something that is exceedingly weighty, and it lasts for eternity. Why in the world do we not invest more for the Lord? And the answer is found in verse 18. Because it's not seen. The things that are eternal are not seen. The things that are temporal, I can see them. I can feel them. They're with me. And so it requires faith to trust in the unseen. And that's why we don't often give sacrificially, whether it be money or time or energy or effort or whatever it might be. We don't often do that because if we're honest, and I'm with you on this one, we walk more by sight than we do by faith. And we're commanded to walk by faith, not by sight. I want to encourage you this evening that it is worth it to be involved in missions, to be involved in getting the gospel out, whether we're talking about India or we're talking about our neighborhood here, whether we're talking about your neighbor next door or somebody in a far-off land. It is worthwhile to invest in getting the gospel to them. Why? Because of God's glory, because of our love for our fellow man, and because of the rewards that we'll see in heaven. Let's pray, and we'll have a time of invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us of why it is so very important for us to be involved in missions. Please help us to remember by faith that you are glorified when a soul is saved. Help us to remember as well, dear Lord, by faith that our fellow man has the opportunity to escape the damnation of hell by believing on you. And that if they do not, no matter how nice they are, that they are under your condemnation. Help us to remember by faith those truths. And then, Lord, would you also help us to remember by faith that someday you will reward us for what we give. Though we are tired, though we are weary, and like those in, I believe it was Gideon's day, we are faint yet pursuing. Help us, dear Lord, by faith to remember that you will reward us, I pray. Now, Lord, would you bless the invitation time? Use it for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.